Go to Luke chapter 22 and John chapter number 13. I want to talk tonight about humility. It's something I've been studying. Actually, I had a couple of different lessons that I studied on. And, you know, I think pride's one of the biggest sins. I think God hates that. You know, there are no big sins and little sins. But if you go over to the book of Proverbs, it says six things that the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. The first one is a proud look. Yeah. And anytime I think you see a problem, it's caused by pride. That's why the Bible says in one place, only by pride cometh contention. But what is humility? Webster's dictionary says this. It says humility is modesty. It is mildness. It is freedom from pride. It is unpretentious, which means it does not lift oneself up above another. You hear somebody say something along the lines of, well, you don't talk to me that way. I don't think you realize who I am. I'm too good to sit with those people. And here's something I run into a lot of times. When people's title at work means more to them than their compensation. I don't care what you call me. It's like, just call me when the dinner bell rings. That's kind of, I don't care what they call me as long as they pay me, okay? And do you feel too good to do certain menial jobs? See, I've seen people have trouble, need a job, and they got this attitude, well, I'm too good to do that. They'll let the bank come take everything they've got before they get out there and work the job they need to work so they can make it till a better day. Okay? So it does matter. Now, you stop and think about it. What's one of the worst jobs you could have or have ever had? And we got a story depicted for us where Christ gives us an example. There are many things that we say we would not be caught doing or caught dead doing. But what if performing that task were the best way for you to serve the body of Christ? Would you do it? See, I grew up where they had old-fashioned foot washings. And I can remember it, and I'd watch them. Now, I'm not, I'll just tell you, I'd just as soon do something else. Just being honest. But I can remember watching them. My daddy would have a foot washing. He'd have the best time. They'd be praising the Lord. I've seen and have some great meetings. But what is Christ trying to tell us? And that's what we want to look at tonight. See, the answer to the question when it comes to our Lord is, what if performing a task were the best way for you to serve the body of Christ? Would you do it? Well, the truth is, Jesus would. See, one evening, in fact, he performed one of the grungiest jobs in his era, which was foot washing. See, you cannot get much lower than rinsing the sand and sweat from a traveler's feet after an all-day trek along the unpaved streets of Judah. Such a dirty, dusty job usually fell to a slave and not to a savior. But Jesus modeled this character trait for us, which is the character trait of humility. Now I want to read in Luke chapter number 22, verse 7, and in John chapter number 13. And we're talking about the events leading up to our Lord being crucified as he meets together with his disciples. And in Luke chapter 22, verse 7, it says, "Then came the day of unleavened bread when the Passover must be killed. And he sent Peter and John, saying, Go and prepare for us the Passover, that we may eat. And they said unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare? And he said unto him, Behold, when ye are entered into the city, there shall a man meet you, bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he entereth in. And ye shall say unto the good man in the house, The master saith unto thee, Where is the guest chamber, and where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he shall show you a large upper room furnished, there make ready. And they went and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. Now let's go over to the book of John, chapter number 13, because the truth is we have four Gospels, and we have four men that walk with Christ that tell the story of these events. And let's see what begins to happen here and what is said in the book of John. It says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world into the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God, and went to God, he riseth from supper, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel, and girded himself. After he had poured the water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with a towel wherewith he was girded, then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? And Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. But Peter said unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. And Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus said unto him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him, therefore he said, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, and taken the garments, and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye that I have done unto you. Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for I am, for if I then your master and have washed your feet, ye ought also to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example. And here's what we need to understand here in the 15th verse. He said, I have given you an example. Now our culture today is not that we walk from place to place and that we wash a person's feet when they come in. And this time it was. But he said, I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done unto you. And verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. Now I want you to see the background. The events leading up to the Lord's humble act begin in Luke 22, where Jesus and his disciples share the final Passover meal. Jesus sends Peter and John to inquire of a room, the upper room, and you see this in Luke 22 and verse 12. Jesus breaks the bread and he gives it to them, and then he tells them, one of you will betray me. Then they dispute among themselves who that it might be. But I want you to go back to Luke 22 and I want you to look at something in the 24th verse. Because when we read the scripture to understand what was Jesus trying to really say to them, you find the key to it as it begins right here. Because see, you need to take these scriptures and you put them together to understand all the events of what happened at this time. Why did Jesus rise and take a pan of water to wash their feet? But look at verse number 24. Now this is immediately after he just said to them, one of you is going to betray me. In verse 24 it says, and there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. So here, while you know he's having the Passover with them, he breaks the bread, he tells them that one of them is going to betray them. Rather than it being on their heart and mind and being concerned, what do? They go right back to themselves. And they begin to dispute among themselves who is going to be the greatest. How soon they forgot the pain of the words that one of them would betray him. And see, since none of the four Gospels present the evening of the Passover in its entirety, to get an exact chronological account of the events, you have to look at the four Gospels. But I believe the time of this dispute among them seems to be most likely the time for Christ to arise and wash their feet. Can you imagine them arguing about who's going to be the greatest, and Jesus quietly getting up from his seat at the table and going over and pouring a basin of water and going over to the one that's boasting the loudest, saying, "I'm going to be the greatest," and kneeling down at his feet and beginning to wash his feet. Sometimes people look at foot washing as they do the sacraments and they think, well, Jesus said you got to do it, we've got to do it. I think he said, I'm giving you an example. And I think we need to understand when we're looking at it, what he's trying to teach us is not that for me to be right with God, I've got to have a basin of water and I've got to come in here and we've got to have a foot washing. But if I want to be what Jesus is, I need to have the kind of humility that he had. And the first thing that I want you to see is humility must be prompted by love. What motivated Jesus to reach for the towel and the basin? If you go back to John chapter 13 and verse number 1, the scripture says that he loved them unto the end. Now, I preached not long ago, what kind of love does God have for us? It's an educated love. He knows everything about us, and he still loved us. What prompted this humility? Number one is love that he had for us. They were disciples. Jesus was the teacher. The word disciple means learner. The truth is, we're all disciples of Christ. Jesus took advantage of the opportunity to teach them. Now, the reason behind Jesus' act was as important as the act itself. See, I've seen people that would gladly wash feet. I've been to foot washings when I was young, a lot of them. But sometimes, have you ever been in a church service where people do things, but they want to make sure that you see them do it? It wasn't that way. He quietly got up and he went over. Most people who do things, sometimes here's the problem, they do it for the wrong reason. They do it for promotion. They do it for recognition. They do it thinking they're scoring points with God or to please someone else. But real humility looks beyond. It springs from others-centered love. This is why I want you to understand, if you're really doing something for God, you don't have to broadcast it. Just do it for God. You say, well, I'm not going to give that much money and see that done if people don't know I gave it. Well, who's getting the glory? You are. You can get your glory here or you can get it in heaven. Okay? Number two, humility needs no announcement. Notice how Jesus quietly rises from the supper and he begins to wash their feet. There's no drum roll. He didn't get up and say, hey, attention, I'm going to show you what humility is. He didn't. He didn't say, listen up, I got something to teach you. He quietly goes over, and his lesson begins in silence. And I believe true humility is done in silence. You know what one of the hardest things for us to do? James chapter 3 tells us, is to keep our mouth closed. It's to hold our tongue. But sometimes what God wants you to do to minister to others has to do with what you do and how you treat them, not what you say. See, the moment humility calls attention to itself, it stops being humility. When quietly demonstrated, the message of humility seeps into the parched, prideful hearts of those who witness it. It's like this. You got somebody mistreating you? Be kind to them. What do you hear people say? I'll get that bird. I'll get them back. I'll take care of it. You just watch. I've heard them say it at work. Heard a guy say one time there was somebody that didn't show him the respect he thought he should get. You know, he was a manager. I should get respect. You know what he said? He said, one day you'll work for me, and when you do, you'll see. And I thought, what if he does? What kind of humility is that? See, what we should be an example of is being like Christ will change somebody's heart, but we're so concerned about our glory that we can't give him the glory he deserves. Number three, humility sees beneath the surface. See, Jesus' choice of foot washing as a lesson for the disciples tells us something of the Savior's piercing perception of the human heart. Now, one thing I believe, and I think we all need to understand this, if you go into work tomorrow and somebody snaps at you, it might be because they got a bad report from the doctor. It might be because their son that they love hasn't been home in 3 nights and they don't know where he's at. It might be because their car broke down on the way to work and they had to walk the rest of the way in and they don't know where they're going to get the money to fix it. Jesus sees inside the heart, not just the dirt that's on the outside. Sometimes all we can see is the dirt on the outside because we're not trying to be like Christ. Jesus was not interested in nearly washing away the dirt from the disciples' feet. He wanted to scour the pride from their hearts. See, he saw the real dirt, which was not the dirt on their feet, but it was the dirt in their souls. See, Jesus is omniscient, and we are not. So how does this principle apply to us? When we listen to others, we must listen to more than what they say. Words often reveal underlying emotions, experiences, pain, and sin. So we must ask God to help us to be sensitive to the conditions of others' hearts. I can't see into the soul, but here's something I do believe that God gives us as Christians, and I think this is very important, and this is part of our growth in Christ, is perception. You see, one thing that I believe is not talked about enough in church anymore is the spiritual side of being a Christian. As Christians, we should have discernment, and our lives should be led by the Holy Spirit. I can't tell you how many times at work, I mean, people know I'm a Christian, they know I'm a preacher, and most of them know I pastor a church. How many times to the door? And I look up, and I'll tell you, God's already moving. Immediately, the Holy Spirit tells me, this is not about work. And somebody says, can I talk to you? Now, I want to tell you something for me, folks. I consider that one of the greatest privileges that I have. Because in order for you to be a witness on your job or in your neighborhood or at your school, you got to live for God for a long period of time faithfully to earn that right. And when people ask me to pray for them, it's serious. But if we can't look at people and see beyond the dirt that's on the outside, how are we ever going to lovingly encourage, advise, instruct, or even comfort them? We got to look beyond and we got to see deeper. You got to see more than what's on the outside. Fourth thing is humility should be as comfortable receiving as giving. Now, here's the tough part for me. Now, y'all ask me how I'm feeling. Y'all know I grunt when I bend over and pick stuff up. Okay? You stand close enough to me, you'll hear my back pop. Okay? I can't hide that. But if you ever ask me how you feeling, I'm good. But sometimes, and we look at the example here where Peter, he demonstrated it. It's something that sometimes we have to receive. It's often easier to give help than it is to receive help. And here's Peter, he said, not my feet, Lord. Now we could ask, why do you think Peter would not allow the Lord to wash his feet? There's two. One, it could be pride. It could be too proud to submit to the master's probing. But folks, I don't see that here. I'll tell you why I don't see that. Because number two is humility. See, when the Lord come to Peter and he said, I want to wash your feet, Peter. He said, not mine. And then the Lord said, well, if you're not going to let me, you have no part with me. What did Peter say? He said, not just my feet, but my head and my hands. In other words, Lord, I want all of you. That is the pastor's phone. I'm sorry. That's work. Turn that thing off. But he said, not just my feet, but my head and my hands. And it was humility demonstrated in him, which sometimes, if it's demonstrated in us, and it should, but there are times when everybody needs somebody. You know, when I've spoken to a few folks lately, and I said, it's like this, we are the family of God. And there are times when you need to call on your family. There's a song that Kendra and I used to sing. I guess her mom and daddy used to sing it. We got songbook after songbook filled with them old songs, you know, used to sing. And one of them is entitled, I Need the Prayers of Those I Love. And when you read through the song and you look at it, it talks about there are times in my life that I'm going to need somebody to help me. So humility should be as comfortable receiving as it is giving. Number five, humility is a mark of strength and not weakness. And here's the day and times that we're living in is a time when, obviously, I wish our young people could get a hold of this one. Jesus is the Son of God, the Savior of the world, Emmanuel, which means God with us, yet he served the disciples with a servant's humility. In Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10, it says, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which you have showed toward his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. Matthew chapter 10, it talks about rewards. And I want to flip over and read just a couple of verses to you. Matthew chapter 10, verse 40 to 42. It says, he that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. And he that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto you, one of these little ones, a cup of cold water, only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. And here's something I want us to understand. As Christians, the greatest reward we could ever have is there. It's not here. And when we serve God the way Christ served his disciples here, and he did it quietly, and he did it out of love, and he didn't do it for recognition, I believe what the Bible teaches us is the greatest reward we could have is to stand before the Lord and hear him say, well, good, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the joys of the Lord. And we ought to do that for the honor and glory of God, even with the intent of when we receive our reward, as the Bible teaches us, to lay our crowns down at Jesus' feet. And the last thing is humility must be expressed before joyful fellowship can come. Now, if we go back over here to John chapter number 3 and verse number 12 through 17, he basically tells them that I'm your master. And if I, being your master, have done these things, he said, I'm giving you an example of how you ought to treat one another. And he basically says, demonstrate humility and kindness to each other. You go back to the 24th verse over there in the 22nd chapter of Luke, what were they doing? They were arguing about who is the greatest. Now here's a question. How low did Christ go for us? I want to read one more place in Philippians chapter number 2 and verse number 1. And it gives us an example of what Christ did for us. It said, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now that's what the King of Kings did for us. But I want to tell you something. Sometimes every day, we struggle with the simplest things. I heard a preacher preaching a while ago, and he was giving the example of how God speaks to you, and he said he was in traffic. The devil lives in traffic. He said he was in traffic, and he said as he sat there in traffic, he said traffic hadn't moved, and all of a sudden, beside him, here comes this lady flying up in a Corvette. And she's just going to get right in front of him. And he said, she just keeps coming, and he keeps coming. He said, I finally looked at her, and I said, if you want to bend metal, bring it on. I'm talking about a preacher, a good preacher, too. He said, and I was getting madder and madder. And he said, about that time I looked up, my eyes hit the rearview mirror, and my granddaughter was sitting in the back seat. And her eyes were about this big around. And he said, all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit in my heart, it smote me. You see, we're living in a land today to where everybody wants to be first. If people would look at this example of Christ, and here's the way you do this, and this is, I believe, what God wants us to do. It's not going to be humility that will be demonstrated in a time when everybody's being good to you. When everybody's doing the right thing and everybody's showing you the kindness, you know, of Christ, and you just want to return the favor. But it's going to be a time when you hear the most bitter words, the harshest words, the roughest response, that God's going to prompt you by His Holy Spirit to spiritually take a pan of water and just pick it up and go over and kneel down at their feet and show them kindness. As David said, is there any left of the house of Saul that I might show kindness for Jonathan's sake? Is there any left of the house of Jesus that I can show kindness for Jesus' sake? And when we demonstrate it, here's what happens, and I believe this with all my heart. The Holy Spirit will do things you and I cannot do. It'll work in your marriage. It'll work with your children. It'll work with the people that you go to work with every day. So I don't want to be kind to them. They weren't kind to me. What did Jesus do for us? What did I do to deserve the kindness that He showed me when He humbled Himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross? All He's telling me in return is He says, let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ. Now, I don't know about you, but I need this. I was in traffic last week. I was coming up on 85, and I was trying to get over, and the lady wouldn't let me over. And I kept going over, and she kept coming up. And I thought about this. You know why? Don't do what you want to do. Do what God wants you to do. Amen. Hope something I said tonight was a blessing to you or a help to you. There's a lot in God's Word, and I don't know if you've ever thought about the timing. He didn't just wash your feet to tell you you need to have a foot washing. He washed their feet because they were arguing about who's the greatest. Amen.